Good morning and welcome to this service of worship from Latrobe United Presbyterian Church, 340 Spring Street in Latrobe, Pennsylvania. I'm John Simpson, the interim pastor here. We'd encourage you to join us any Sunday morning at 11 o'clock a.m. as we come together to worship God. Let us do that now and hear this call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. That passage is taken from Psalm 107. Will you repeat it with me, please? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let us worship him. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, forgive us when we are selfish with our Christian faith, when we feel that nothing is required of us after our own spiritual needs are met. Forgive us for being unconcerned about those who are unaware of your love for them. Be merciful to us when we have failed to see and respond to the needs of others. Forgive us and set us on a straight path of obedient caring. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now join in singing this hymn that was sung some time ago here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. Our scripture lesson is taken from the Gospel of Mark, the fourth chapter, beginning to read at the 35th verse. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the sea." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There was also other boats with him. But a furious squall came up and waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up. He rebuked the wind and the waves, and he said, Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it became completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith? They were terrified, and they asked each other, Who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Amen. Now listen to this hymn, as it was sung recently here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church. Second lesson is taken from the book of Psalms. It is actually Psalm 107, the psalm that we began this service with. I'm going to read several verses of this psalm. I'll tell you ahead of time that it is divided into three parts. One has to do with God's goodness and his unfailing love to those who are in prison. Another has to do with God's goodness and unfailing love even to those who are foolish and who rebel against him. And the third has to do with God's unfailing love to those who are out on the sea in the middle of a storm. So keep those three things in mind as we read these parts of Psalm 107, a person in prison, a rebellious fool, and a person out on a stormy sea. Listen for God speaking to your life through these words. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Some sat in the darkest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the word of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the deepest gloom. He brought them away from their chains. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wondrous deeds. Some became fools through their rebellious ways. They suffered affliction because of their sins. They hated all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word, and he healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Oh, let us give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. Others went out to the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty water. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest and lifted high the waves, and they mounted up in the heaven. They went up to the heavens and down into the depths, and in their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their haven. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and for his wondrous deeds. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Amen. Have you ever been to the seashore? Surely at one time in your life or another, you have been to the ocean. Maybe it was this past summer on your summer vacation. Maybe you went to Myrtle, or maybe you went to Ocean City, or maybe you went to some other sea point. Have you ever looked out and sat on the beach and looked out to see just how far you can see? Have you ever gazed at the horizon and watched as a ship was about to disappear from sight, a mere speck in a sea of blue? The ocean can be beautiful, and the ocean can be calming and tranquil. It can be a relaxing place to be. But have you ever been at the ocean in the middle of the storm? Or when a storm was approaching, a thunderstorm, a nor'easter, or maybe even a hurricane was coming? That same calm, peaceful, relaxing spot can become a place of awesome destructive power in just moments. Wind that stings your face, rain that stings your face, and wind that threatens to blow you off your feet, and waves that would sweep even the most skilled swimmer out into the deep to their death. Have you ever watched the ocean as a storm approached? Have you ever stood by the ocean? Have you stood by the ocean as storm waves pounded the shoreline with their fearsome fury? Indeed, have you ever been on the ocean? On the ocean in the middle of a storm, on a cruise liner or on some type of military ship? Have you ever been on the ocean in the middle of a storm, riding from one high wave to another, first being tossed into the heavens and then falling down, feeling like you're falling into the depths of the sea? First up and then down and then up and then down, as your stomach churns and your palms sweat and your skin turns green and you find yourself vacillating between fearing that you're going to die and wishing that you would die. The ocean is a fearsome and awesome place to be in the middle of a storm. The disciples of Jesus knew that fear. The disciples of Jesus knew that awe, as we read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. That passage says that as they sailed across the Sea of Galilee, quote, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that the boat was beginning to be swamped. Meanwhile, Jesus was in the back of the boat, asleep on a cushion. They go to Jesus and they yell above that noise of the wind and the noise of the storm, and they yell to Jesus, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care at all about us? So Jesus spoke to the winds. And Jesus spoke to the waves. He said, be quiet. Be still. And everything got quiet. It's a fearsome and awesome thing to be in a storm at sea. It's a fearsome and awesome thing to be in a storm at sea. That is, unless you have Jesus in your boat. Then there was Psalm 107. Indeed, it was this psalm that inspired the sermon. The psalm begins, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever." Then as I mentioned, it goes on to cite example after example after example of things when God's might and God's power, God's goodness and God's love appears in the midst of a storm. God does rescue, God does save people from their troubles, and so the psalmist reiterates at the end of each of those sections, the psalmist reiterates, "So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Talks first about those who are wandering in the desert. I didn't read that portion today. And next it talks about some who are prisoners sitting in the dark, deepness, gloom of a prison. How awful life is for them, but how good and loving God rescues them. Then it talks about some who are trapped in their own rebellion and stupidity, about how miserable their life has become, but how God rescues them from their stupidity, how God rescues them from their foolishness, and it talks about how good God is. And then he uses this analogy that I just read of sailors out in a storm, how they're tossed about by the waves, up and down by the storm, how God rescues them and brings them safely to their harbor. How good God is and how his love endures forever. It talks about how those sailors, as they battled those winds and those waves, talks about how they were, and it uses the term, at their wit's end. And how when they were at their wit's end, God rescued them out of his goodness and his love for them. Have you ever been at your wit's end? I mean, really, have you ever been at your wit's end? You know what I mean. Maybe it was when the kids were little and you were stuck in the house all winter long with nothing but more than a couple of babies to take care of. No adult voice all day long, except perhaps the TV. And you felt like you were at your wit's end. Or maybe you were shut in all winter long because of the COVID and you saw nobody. Maybe you're seeing this from a retirement community or something, and you know what it was like to be stuck in your room and to have the people there tell you, hey, you gotta get back in your room. Or maybe you were just stuck in your house because of COVID. And after a month or two, you felt like you were at your wit's end. Or maybe it's because you deal with the daily pain of arthritis for months. Or maybe you've been dealing with that pain for years. Or maybe you've been struggling with illness or with doctors or with medications for so many months and so many years that you're at your wit's end. Or maybe you're in a marriage or a family that is full of conflict or disagreement or dysfunction, and you're unable to resolve the conflict, and you're unable to resolve the disagreement, and you're unable to resolve the dysfunction, and you're at your wit's end. Or maybe you're in a job that you absolutely hate, working with people that you can't stand, and enduring pressures that are giving you an ulcer, and you feel like you're at your wit's end. Or maybe you got kids. Maybe you got grown-up kids going through divorces, being irresponsible. Grown-up kids not willing to listen, breaking your heart. And you're at your wit's end. Or maybe you got parents. Elderly parents, feeble parents, but still stubborn and cranky and unwilling to listen and unable to take care of themselves. You love them, but you're at your wit's end. Or maybe you have in-laws who are driving you nuts. Maybe it's your spouse's parents, or maybe it's your kids' spouses. You really don't like each other. You find it hard to stand each other, but you're kind of stuck together because of the marriages. And well, you're just kind of at your wit's end with them. You get the picture. You get the picture dealing with and living with those things that we all face from time to time. Those things that we all face that drive us to our wit's end. Now, let's be honest. Some of these things are of our own making. But some of them are not. Some of these things that drive us to our wit's end. So what does it mean to be at our wit's end? It means that we are at the end of our conscious mind. Well, that is to say, it means that we are at the end of our own ability to deal with something through our own conscious reasoning processes. Maybe this will help. The word wit comes from a Greek word that means I know. The word wit comes from a Greek word that means I know. And so to have your wits about you means that we have the ability to know. To have our wits about us means to have the ability to think. To have our wits about us means that we have the ability to understand. But to be at our wits' end, to be at our wits' end means to be beyond our ability to understand. To be at our wits' end means to be beyond our ability to know, beyond our ability to understand. To be at our wits' end means to be beyond our ability to figure it out. Beyond our ability to figure it out. It means we run up against something or something that is beyond us. Beyond us, and that we simply can't figure out. We're at the end of our own individual human resources. We are at our wits' end. So what do we do? Is that it? Are we finished? Do we just give up? Cash in our chips? Throw in the towel? Not so fast. Not so fast there. God has given us two resources. God has given us two resources to carry us beyond our wits' end. Two resources to get us through life's tough spots. When our own wit and our own wisdom fails us, He has given us each other. And He has given us His promise of His unfailing, faithful love and care. He has given us each other, and He has given us His promise, of His unfailing love and care. First, God has given us each other. When we reach the end of our wits, God has given us each other. Think about that. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever gone through a week? Have you ever gone through a week without the help, without the guidance, without the insight, without the encouragement of some other person? Have you ever gone through a week where there was no one who encouraged you, gave you a word of guidance, gave you a word of encouragement or insight? Think about that. Sometimes it's very subtle. You don't even notice it. But I don't think I have ever gone through a week, and I may not have gone through a day, where somebody maybe that I didn't even know, somebody that I encountered, or maybe somebody that I know very well, had some suggestion, gave some word of encouragement that helped me along the way. I don't think I've ever gone a week. I know I haven't gone a week without some help, guidance, and encouragement. God has given us each other when we are at our wits' end. We turn to a friend. We turn to a family member. We turn to a loved one. Sometimes we turn to a professional. Sometimes we simply need to turn to a professional for this help. And you know what? Their wit plus our wit often leads in the right direction. Their wit plus our wit often leads to an answer. Their wit plus our wit often leads to a solution. This is no accident. This is no accident, for God created us for relationship with each other. In Genesis, he says, it is not good for people to live alone. I know in that passage, God's talking about the marriage relationship, but I think God is also saying, it's not good for us to just be islands unto ourselves. It is not good for us to live alone. It is not good for us to be alone. Meaning that it is in relationships that we bloom. Meaning that it is in relationships that we become our fullest human beings. Meaning that in relationships we reach our fullest potential and we become the kind of person that God created us to be in relationships with those around us. So whatever the issue, whenever you reach your wit's end, look around you and go to someone that you trust. Go to someone that you feel has some wisdom. Go to someone who has a Christian worldview. Because that person may be God's gift to you. Because that person may be God's way of answering your prayers. They may be his way of helping you to move beyond the point of being at your wit's end. God has given us each other for those times we feel that we're at our wit's end. But God does not just give us others, God gives us himself. He's promised to walk with us. He's promised to be with us in all of life and even on to eternity. He is there to encourage us. He is there to guide us. He is there to love us. He is there to occasionally discipline us. He is there ultimately to receive us to himself in heaven at our life's end. God will never leave us or desert us. The reality of God's presence is a reality for each one of us. The reality of God's presence is illustrated by this story from Chuck Swindoll's book called Tough Times. In that book, Chuck writes the following. He says, William Fry, an Episcopal bishop from Colorado, tells how when he was an undergraduate, he used to spend a couple hours a week reading for a fellow student. The student's name was John, and he was blind. One day, he asked John how he had lost his sight, and John told him of an accident when he was a teenager, and how when it happened, he simply gave up on life. John said, when the accident happened, I knew that I would never see again. I felt that life had ended as far as I was concerned. I was bitter and angry with God for letting it happen, and I took my anger out on everyone around me. I felt that since I had no future, I wouldn't lift a finger on my own behalf. I let others wait on me. I shut my bedroom door and refused to come out except at mealtime. Bishop Fry continues. The man was an eager learner. John was an excellent student. And so I asked him, what changed your attitude? He told me this story. John said, one day in exasperation, my father came into my bedroom and started giving me a lecture. He said he was tired of me feeling sorry for myself. He said that winter was coming and that it was my job to put up the storm windows. His father said to him, you get those storm windows up by supper time or else. And he went out and slammed the door behind him as he left the room. Well said, John. Well, that made me so angry that I resolved to do it. Muttering and cursing to myself, I groped my way around the garage, and I found the windows, and I found the stepladder, and I found all of the necessary tools that I needed to do the job. They'll be sorry when I fall and break my neck. Then they'll really feel guilty, John thought to himself. But little by little, even in my blindness, John says, I groped my way around the house and I finished the job before supper. Then he stopped. Then John stopped as his sightless eyes teared up and he told me. John said, I later discovered at no time during that day was my father more than 5 feet away from my side. My father was with me the whole time. So remember, when you reach the end of your rope, God will not, God cannot, God never will abandon you. Look around. Look around. You'll find others there willing to help you. Look around and you'll find others. And look up. And you will find that your Heavenly Father is not far away, ready to encourage, ready to love, and ready to guide you beyond your wit's end. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray especially for those who are at their wit's end today. Because of health issues, because of family issues, because of personal issues, because of emotional issues, whatever those issues are, Lord, we pray for those who are at their wit's end. Lord, bring into their lives people that they can trust, people to do your work, Lord, people to speak to them your words. Bring into their lives, Lord, those who will guide them beyond their wit's end. And Lord, surround them with your loving care. Help them to know, help them to experience, help them to understand that even though life is tough right now, that you are good, that you are there, and that your love endures forever. We give you thanks, Lord, and we praise your name. Amen. Now listen to this hymn, as it was recorded some time ago here at Latrobe United Presbyterian Church.
Thank you.
Now let us go into the world in peace. Let us live as free people, serving the Lord and rejoicing in the power of His Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.